There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
I would like everybody to know that we were 15 minutes into recording an episode just now about how to keep your handicap, and I looked down, and the record button was green, and for anyone who is not a influencer like Andy and I here in the studio tonight...
Wrong green one. Is not good.
Well, green is not good. Red means you're recording. Like that's the red right. Light's on.
We're red now.
So we got 15 minutes into an episode. Nice. We got 15 minutes into an episode about how to keep your handicap, details about a handicap system. We were really rocking and rolling, and I was loving it until I realized we weren't recording and we couldn't post it, which is bad because then people that sponsor us, like Swanee's Golf, wouldn't get the things that they actually pay for.
Shout out Swanee's. Great company, great apparel. Use code...
Member30.
Member30 on the Swanee's website. We've got the holidays coming up. They've got merch. They've got hoodies.
They got Black Friday sales.
They've got golf shirts. They got sales. They got all kinds of things coming up Cyber Monday. I don't know if this episode will be out after that, but we'll be hyping that on the social. Bottom line is, if you haven't gotten Swanee's Golf merch, you need to go and do it because I'll tell you what, the stuff's electric.
It is pretty lit. We get a lot of compliments on it. And you know what else is electric? Go on.
Keeping a handicap.
Keeping a handicap is electric. So you want to know why?
Well, for one, it gets you the ability to play in events and tournaments.
Sure, that's,
like
that's
member
one
guests.
Thing. That's one
it
thing.
It allows you to play a game with your buddies when you go and you play golf.
Another thing.
And what else did we learn, Jordan? It's free to do.
It is free to do.
It does not cost money.
It does not cost money.
And how long does it take, roughly on average, to post a score if you have the app?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you know your score, I don't know, 15 seconds.
Max 15 seconds.
And this episode is not sponsored by Gin, but it should be after that electric intro. And the other thing I was going to say is that the handicaps, it really brings legitimacy to you as a golfer.
It does, yeah.
Imagine, okay, let's play pretend here. You walk into a club, you know, you got invited by one of your buddies, you know, you want to show up. And they go, what's your handicap? And you go, I don't know. I'm like an 8.
Yeah, I'll tell you
like,
what.
Like, don't be the person that goes, that guy. I don't know, I'm like an 8. Like, okay, if you think you're an 8, for one, you should 1,000% have a handicap. If you are shooting below 100 consistently, you should absolutely have a handicap. And by the way, that would mean you're probably, 15 or less?
I don't know what it means, but
somewhere
you know,
there.
In golf, handy isn't what most people think it is, right? A handy is your handicap. And you need to have one of those.
You do.
Because if you don't have one, you're just not legit.
Yeah. And so I figured, I wanted to do an episode on this a while ago. What does the handicap system, like how do they get to their numbers? Because I do really think it's interesting. You talk to someone with a couple times, you're like, I'm a 3. And you've never seen that person shoot, you know, below 85. Mm-hmm. You might be kind of weirded out. But then when you kind of dig into the actual handicap system, it's very detailed. They clearly put a lot of thought into it. I think it works. I think it's accurate. And so I looked up a bunch of stuff, and instead of me just like reading it and us talking about it, I'm going to ask you questions to see what you know. And, to be fair, we only got through one question,
yeah.
And that's
and
when
I
realized.
Know it, so.
And you did, you knew it.
Knew
we'll
it.
See how we explain it. So, the first thing I think people need to recognize when you're figuring out a handicap in general, like they'll typically look at the scorecard and they'll look at course rating and course slope. And so the first question is, what is a course rating? Yeah. And then let's talk about why it's important.
So a course rating is just adjusted par on that course for a scratch golfer. So what would a scratch golfer shoot at that course?
And a scratch golfer, by the way, is 0.0.
0.0. What would they shoot at that course that would be equal from a performance perspective to shooting par?
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So if it's a course, so anything course rating higher than 72, you would consider hard because it means a scratch golfer isn't going to shoot par or better.
Yeah, so
average.
Some of these course ratings, like
what was the hardest
French
one?
Lick Resort, a Pete Dye is an 80 rating.
Yeah, so that that's the hardest handicap rating in the golf world, right? Is 8 shots over par. So a scratch golfer would shoot 80 on a
Torrey Pines good South, 78.8. Medina, not Minnesota Medina.
I knew that. Right when you said it, I knew that.
Oh, did you know that? Okay. All right. Oh, Butler National. Shout out Jamie Rue.
Which was hardcore. 76.8. 78.1. Wow, 6 strokes over par.
Aaron Hills is up there. Desert Mountain is up there. Oakmont. Ooh, 77.5. Wow. I can see that.
I know what their logo is.
Yeah, they have a great logo.
Yeah.
How do you know what their logo is?
Because that was the logo that Ben Schaff sent in the group chat, and I pretended not to know.
Oh,
to
that's
Tony.
Right. Yeah.
Shout out Tony, who's not here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, so course rating, and then the second is course slope. So course rating and course slope are the two numbers typically on a handy, on a car.
So is there a difference between, so the rating is just the slope converted to score, isn't it?
So the slope is the, give me a second here. The playing length and obstacles impact higher handicap players more than low handicap players, and slope rating measures the relative difficulty of a golf course for players who are not scratch players compared to those who are scratch players. So it's a math equation. It's determined by comparing the course rating, so let's say a most standard one, like 72, to the bogey rating, and a course of a standard difficulty has a slope rating of 113.
Got it. Okay.
So the most like standard course would be a course rating of 72 and a slope rating of 113.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
So the course rating and course slope, just know like when you're looking at a handicap, those two numbers, that's so you can kind of gauge one, what your kind of, you know, score could potentially be.
And this is one of the things that people get wrong is like, if I go shoot 74 at Butler, and I go shoot 74 at Windsong.
Yeah, your rating is going to go down significantly more at Butler than Windsong.
Yeah, so my handicap, though, the impact to my handicap for the 74 I shot at Butler will be significant.
Yeah, and so, well, that's a good segue into talking about how a handicap index is calculated. Okay. So, first question, what's the minimum amount of 18 hole scores you need to have for a handicap?
I think, is it 10 or 20?
3.
Really?
3.
Wow.
The other thing to note about that that I found out researching this is, can you post a score when you played by yourself?
I didn't think you could. I don't think you can.
You cannot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to be with somebody else.
Yep.
And it has to be 18 holes.
Yep. No, it doesn't have to be 18 holes. You can post a 9 holes.
We'll get to that.
Okay. All right.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So when less than 20 scores are in your scoring record, a few numbers of scores are used to calculate your handicap index. So once you have 20 scores in your scoring record, your handicap index is calculated first by averaging the how many best scores.
So if you once you have 20, they take your 10 best scores.
8.
8 best scores.
It was 10.
Okay.
It changed to 8, I believe, this year, potentially last year. Okay. Someone will have to check me on that. Johnny. Johnny's not here tonight. Someone's going to have to check me on that.
Okay.
But it's by 8. So that's why a lot of people's indexes actually went down. I believe they changed this year, from last year to this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, let's say your last 20, 10 of them were 76, and then, you know, the other 10 below that were 75, 4, 3, 2, 1, right all the way down. You get rid of 2 more worse scores.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have a lower handicap index just by them changing the rule of how many you take.
Right.
And that's also a good point to make, and so that people know a handicap's only calculated off your, call it, best 40% of your rounds.
That's right.
Right? 8 out of 20, 4 out of 10, so 40% of your rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 out of your 10, you're not going to shoot your average score.
Right.
Which is I think one thing a lot of people get wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
They think, oh, you're a five, you should be shooting 77. It's like, well, I'm a five at some courses.
Well, you only shoot your handicap what percentage of the time?
I guess it'd be the, well, because that's the average. So you probably shoot your handicap, I don't know, what would that be, like 20% of the time?
I think it's like 20% or 30% of the time.
Yeah, probably right around there.
Yeah.
That'd be a good Stagner stat, but I would guess it's right around there.
Yeah, so if I'm a 1.2, which, I don't know, at Windsong, I think that's a 4. So I should be shooting 75 there, two to three in every 10 rounds. That's about right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
How often is your handicap index updated?
Every day.
Every single day. And the cool thing to know about that, the reason why they do that, is so that the other scores posted, so let's say, you know, 100 people play at the course that you played that day, and is playing really, really hard, right? But you happen to shoot a really good score. When they input all those in, and let's say you're a 0.0 and I'm a 6, and we shoot the same score, and everyone else shot bad scores, mine's actually going to go a little bit lower because it factors in that other, like you played, even though you may have played your handicap, you played better than what the course was playing that day.
That's right. So they factor for daily conditions and difficulty of the course based on inclement weather and other factors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I think, like, another thing that people should know, like the way that they do this is so sophisticated, it's actually crazy. I would love to see the algorithm in the background.
Yeah, like I was just thinking about that.
And they do it every single day. Yeah, every single person that has a gin.
Yeah, it's got to be like some kind of hashtag machine learning.
All right, so question. I did not play a hole. What score do I post? So let's say a hole's not played due to darkness or construction or whatever. What do you do?
So I have no idea what the answer is. Should I guess?
Yeah.
You put post par.
The score recorded for your handicap purpose is net par.
Yeah. Okay. So net par.
Net par.
So if you were getting a shot on that hole, you would post par.
Correct.
And if you were getting a shot on that hole.
Well, yeah, because that'd be your net par.
If you were getting a shot on that hole, you would post a bogey.
Bogey. Yeah. So if you're let's say you're a 5 handicap and you're getting 6 strokes and the last 2 holes you can't play due to darkness, one is ranked the 14 handicap, so 14th hardest, and the other is ranked the 5th. So you don't get a stroke on the 14th, so you post par. You do get a stroke on hole 18, which is the 5th hardest hole, so you add a stroke to that, meaning you would post a bogey.
Yep.
And that evens out.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk to people about keeping handicaps too, people need to understand these rules to know that, you know, in both situations, when you're playing a really good round and you don't finish, you can still go post it, and you should post it. When you're playing a really bad round and you don't finish, you need to post it.
Absolutely.
Post your scores every single
post
round.
Post your scores.
Just wanted to make that known.
Jordan's Handicap Committee.
Yeah. Well, I already answered this one early, but I played a round by myself. Why can't I post the score? Do you know the reason why?
Because no one's there to validate it?
Yeah. Peer review is required in order to post a score.
Okay.
On which holes do players receive strokes in a competition? Should be pretty easy. You just kind of talked about it.
Yeah. So depending on your handicap, like if you're a 5 or a 4, the first thing you do is your handicap gets adjusted based on the course rating and difficulty. So let's say I'm a 1.2, which I think is my handicap. I think I'm a 3 at Windsong.
Yeah, because it's probably a rating of 74 around there.
So I'm a 3 from the blue tees or whatever. So then I would be getting 3 shots, and I would take those shots, those 3 shots, on the 3 hardest holes.
Correct.
So that's another thing, is all the holes are ranked by difficulty and handicapped, 1 through 18. So I think at Windsong, I, as a 3, get shots on, like, 9, 14, and 15 or something like that. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so.
9, 14, and 15.
Yep.
And then the last, so here's the last question I was going to ask, and I guess we've already, kind of answered this too, but it really has to do around so like plus handicaps,
mm-hmm.
Or just the lowest playing handicap playing at a zero in match play. I did like I knew that this was the right way to do it, but I haven't always seen people do it. So let's say you get in a group of four guys. I'd say half the groups I play in do this. You get in a group of four guys, and let's say the lowest handicap's a two, and then you've got a four, six, and an eight. Some people just write the dots on those. The correct way to do it, according to Jin,
the play off the two?
Play off the two.
Yeah.
So the two actually is a zero.
Right, and then you
and then the
everything.
Four is a two.
Yeah.
The six is a four.
So, yeah. So another way of saying that is, instead of everyone playing off their handicap, you take your handicap minus, you take the difference between your handicap and the best player in the group's handicap.
Yeah. And I like saying it out loud, I think I can talk my way into why they do that. But
well, they do
a,
it because like if someone's a plus handicap as an example.
Actually, no, I'm about to answer this. Actually, you finish because it's probably pretty
I was
going
to say like if someone's a plus handicap, you can't say to them they like need to make a gross or a net, like they need to like a three is a par
yeah.
for them on a par four.
Yeah, that's essentially the thought. So they say by stroking off the low ball, the higher handicap players receive their handicap strokes on the holes where they need them the most.
Yeah.
So it results in more holes tied compared to holes won or lost.
Yeah, and if you did it the other way, then you would have plus handicaps potentially, which I guess could happen, but like they would
double up.
Yeah, no, they would be playing a par four maybe, but it's really a par three for them.
Yeah.
So instead of doing it that way, if you have someone who's not a plus handicap in the group, let's say I'm a two and I'm playing against a plus two, I just get four shots.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the correct
plus two doesn't
way to
have
do
to
it.
Give any shots to the golf course.
It's the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to start keeping a handicap, which you should and need to, and you're going to start playing games with your friends who should and need to keep handicaps as well. Understanding some of these rules and nuances are definitely going to come in if you're playing for money.
Do you know how crazy this is though? Like, from a handicap. So I played Jack in a match at Sand Valley.
Jack.
Reister.
So there's Jack Reister, Jack Hillen.
And Jordan Nagel. That's
and everyone else.
Saying. And do you know how many shots he had to give me? Because like when you get,
oh,
this
man.
Is one thing that I don't think people don't understand.
Up.
When you get to the other side of zero.
Plus
in the
three.
Plus territory. It's almost like the shots are like exponential.
Yeah.
Right? How does that work?
Well, so let's say, so I'd assume Reister's probably a plus four.
He was like a plus four when I played him.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
like a two.
So
and
plus,
I was getting like nine shots.
So you're getting nine, and then he's got to give, well, depending on what the, so let's say you're a two, so seven strokes. So he probably would have been like a one at that course, and you're a nine. So then it ends
no.
up adding more strokes onto it.
No.
He was a plus.
He was a plus four.
Yep.
So, like, par for him at that course was...
two over?
No, I think it was, like, even or something.
Even? Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe even one or two under.
And then yours was... You got an additional, I don't know, four strokes?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it compounds.
So it compounds. Because
he's got to go back to zero, so now, yeah, you get nine or ten strokes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy how that works, because if you're on the other side of zero, you're giving out extra candy.
Well, the other thing, so when I look this up, too, obviously everybody's heard, like, the crazy John Rahm stat. Mm-hmm. Somebody, like, went in, and they put those in. But pros don't carry a handicap, because they're pros, and they play money for...
They play
golf for money. Yeah, they play everything gross. But in order to like play at their clubs where they are back home, like Rahm, he's got to keep a handicap
yeah.
so he can play in
those
games.
Play in the money games, yeah.
And so in there I was looking, they were talking about how some of the pros, you can go find their handicaps, and they're pretty much all in the plus 7 to 9 range.
Yeah.
And then you get into the argument of like, could you beat John Rahm?
No. I mean, that's the thing. Like, so... If the handicap system is legit, well, if the handicap system is legit, it should be close, right?
Do you think you could do it? Theoretically, yeah.
So I don't know how many
Let's say he's.
I wonder if I could actually pull
13.
This up.
Let's say he's plus 13.
I wonder. So on the Gin app, and this is
yeah. Go to Arizona.
Useful tip is you can find, you can set up your game in the Gin app with the players that you're playing with. So, you just go to the Gin app, and then you go to handicap calculator. You say the course you're going to play. Say you're going to play 18 holes, and then you can add golfers to this. So.
Add you and John Rahm.
I'm going to add John Rahm here, and so he's in Arizona.
I really hope he pops up.
So he's a plus 9.5 right now. So I added him to my game.
And then you.
And then me. So can John.
Be in there? Put me in there.
Let's get rid of that person. Let's put Hagel in. I'm going to delete bunch of the old buddies I played with.
You can leave.
So John Rahm and Andy, and then we'll add Hagel here.
Do me, and then do like do Jamie Rue.
So Hagel is in here, and now we're going to add Jamie Rue to this.
Shout out Jamie Rue.
All right, so.
And so now we're about to tee off. Let's play from the blacks at Windsong.
We're going to play from the blacks? Yeah, or the
Jamie's hips better, and there's no way Rahm's going to play the
okay,
blues.
Okay, well, I already have this set up from the blues.
No, it's blacks. It's right there. Blacks.
Okay, so if we're playing from the blacks at Windsong, John Rahm has to give me, as a 1.2 handicap, 13 shots.
Okay.
He's got to give Jordan 10, and he's given Jamie 18, one a hole.
Who are you betting on?
Oh, man, that's so interesting.
Who are you betting on?
So John Rahm, you figure, like, if he's given me 13 shots, he's going to make 7-8 birdies probably, right?
He's going to par, or he's going to birdie all the par fives.
Yeah, I 1,000%. Think he'll make between 6 and 8 birdies for sure.
Yeah, I bet the over-under, if Vegas did this, would be 8.5.
Right.
And yeah. It'd be like plus 120.
Yeah. So,
I don't gamble, and I don't condone gambling.
I get 13 pops. Like, that means, like, I get a shot on one.
Well, yeah, so let's say that he, if we're doing match play, though.
Yeah, so that's where
that's where it gets tough, because match play, I'm taking Rahm for my mortgage.
You're betting on Rahm.
But in stroke play, I'm probably betting on you.
See, I was thinking about it the other way around.
Really?
Yeah.
So in my mind, in match play, Rahm's not making a bogey. And
yeah,
so,
but like, I have to count, like, in match play, I don't have to count, like, all my score. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be, like, his worse is way better than my worse.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, probably John Rahm would smoke me. Getting 13 pops.
I love this conversation
but
that,
like,
we're actually having.
It's hard to imagine, though, because, like, I'm not, like, I guess I do bogey one at Windsong a lot. And if I bogey one at Windsong, John Rahm is not bogeying one at Windsong.
Dude,
right?
He's a killer. He's
going to win that hole.
John Rahm, dog.
More than 50% of the time. So, yeah, John Rahm would smoke me.
Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog. I'd take Rahm against all
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out John Rahm. Shout out match play. Shout out keeping a legitimate handicap for those who are still with us. If you don't yet, go into Gin. It's free. Create a handicap. Have fun. Play really good golf. And we hope you all have a great rest of your holiday season.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy it. All right. Thanks, everybody.